Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Lucas podcast, where I'm your host, Lucas, and we're podcasting away with interesting guests and interesting discussion. This week on the show, I've got Gabriela Michelle, who is a biomedical engineering student at the University of Sydney. She's an international student from Indonesia, and she's head of a number of businesses that she looks after. She's going to be discussing some innovations in biomedical engineering, the ethical dilemmas, what she's really interested about, and the future of that field, as well as how she came up with the businesses and what it is to be living in Australia as an international student, the pros and cons of that. So stay tuned, guys. Thank you again for coming back to the Lucas podcast, and let's kick it off. Here we go. So welcome to the show, Gabriella. It's lovely to have you. How are you today?
I'm good. Hey, Lucas. Thanks for having me on the Lucas podcast.
No, that's awesome to have you. So I understand you just finished all your exams for this year and you're on study holiday break, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then how was your year? How can you sum up your year of studies?
It was challenging, but I guess I got through it and I learned a lot of experiences as well as joined a lot of clubs and societies, and yeah, basically gained a whole lot of new experiences.
So what are you studying right now?
I'm doing biomedical engineering as a degree.
Oh, okay. And did you always follow that through, or did you do anything before that?
I've always been sort of like questioning myself on what I want to do as a whole, as a degree. And at first it was business because I've always liked doing business, and then it switched to science, and it switched to computer, which is computer science. I've been interested in computer science, and finally I've decided that I'm gonna pursue biomedical engineering as a science degree, and that's what I'm doing right now.
So it sounds like you're honing down on your interests and your passions.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, and you've got a number of different entrepreneurial pursuits and businesses you're running, which we'll get into later. But first, I wanted to talk about your degree. So you're doing a biomedical degree, a biomedical engineering. So at the end of it all, I mean, what is your goal? What are you currently interested in? And, where do you see yourself going in the future of this?
Well, when I first started the degree, I thought I would be interested in doing research. Research, not like cancer research, but more to like genetic engineering research, because I've always been interested in genome studies and genetic engineering and modifying.
Modifying genetic code
Yeah, that's right.
and okay. Yeah, so that's interesting that that sort of goes into the area of where we start playing with the human DNA and we start playing with what makes us human. I mean, do you see any ethical boundaries on this kind of research or what you might encounter in the future, where we should stop doing this stuff or how far we can go? I mean, I think once you said that we have a sort of supervillain, superhero scenario in the future. Is that what you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. Obviously, there's ethical considerations, especially right now, because it's a very controversial topic, genetic engineering. But because people fear the harm and potential risk of doing this kind of artificial modification, but how can we really know the risk if we don't test it on humans? I think clinical trials is really important in making genetic engineering go through a breakthrough.
Go through a breakthrough.
Breakthrough,
A
yeah.
breakthrough. Oh, okay. So like, do you find that in the future people move away from doing ethically questionable experiments or testing on animals, or do you think that's part of biomedicine and it's always going to be there?
I think it's part of biomedical engineering and it's part of biology. as a basis, and I think that it's actually gonna be there for a very, very long time and possibly forever,
Okay,
because
yeah.
we wanna test substances and drugs to make sure that it's suitable and safe for humans, and I think that animals is a great way to do it, and it's been proven to do so.
Okay, all right. And then at the end of this degree, I mean, where do you see yourself? Do you want to pursue a master's degree? Do you want to get into research, PhD? Do you want to get into industry? What are your goals here?
I'm thinking of doing PhD for research, but also after I finish my degree, I'm planning to do industrial work first, working for companies and industries like Neuralink for Elon Musk. That's my ultimate goal. And also working with Google, possibly, with their armbands and
Fitbit technology and
yeah,
stuff
Fitbit
like that.
technologies to
Okay.
improve and bring biology into that.
Ah, okay, all right. And what are some sort of areas of research that you're really, really interested in? I mean, do you want to work with DNA splicing? Do you want to work with data in biology? What's your interest right now?
I'm interested in working with CRISPR technology for gene editing. And so what CRISPR basically is a cut and paste tool for genome editing, which consists of Cas9 proteins, which can cut DNA, and a guide RNA, which recognizes the sequence of DNA, which is A, G, C, T's, to be edited. And so how it works is basically the guide RNA is attached to the DNA cutting enzyme, which is the Cas9 protein, and both in combination locates the target letter sequence A or G or C or T and cuts the DNA. And once the DNA is cut, scientists can then edit the existing genome by either modifying, deleting, inserting the new sequence into the DNA. So that's basically a gist of how CRISPR and genome editing works.
Okay. So CRISPR is a way of editing and splicing human and other genomes, allowing us to add little bits and that we want to take out and put little bits in that we can, add in using enzymes. So what do you think are the benefits of having such powerful technology, and where could you see it going in the future?
Well, CRISPR is useful in many ways. It can help put an end to many germline diseases, which are like inherited from your parents, such as color blindness, sickle cell anemia, and even hemophilia. Like, remember when Queen Victoria destroyed the whole royal bloodline with hemophilia, and I heard that some of them even died from the bloodline due to hemophilia, which is like you can't clot the blood properly.
Yeah, so was CRISPR involved in this, or how could we fix this with CRISPR?
Because with CRISPR, you can edit the genes so that you can put an end to the germline diseases like hemophilia, which can be inherited from your parents, you know, which was inherited indeed from Queen Victoria.
So, do you think in the future with CRISPR we could see no diseases and no malicious parts of human genomes? Can we edit them all out?
I wouldn't say for sure that we could edit them all out, but I'd say that it's a huge possibility for many diseases to be edited and prevented even from such an early age. But
So we've heard that in China, a scientist has edited embryos into young girls, making them immune to HIV
that's correct,
with
yep.
side effects. So do you think that, or considered it was considered very unethical by the scientific community, do you think these kinds of experiments will become the norm in the future? Do you think we're too scared to venture into that area? I mean, what's going to happen in the future?
I think that no matter what, that's something that nobody, even the government, can stop these people, these biohackers, from doing so, because it's something that they do from inside their garage or from a small lab in their home. And it's just that something that the government can't control.
So you think the future is going to be sort of planned out by biohackers and they're going to take charge? I mean, not big science, it's going to be people on the fringes.
I really think that someone who's gonna change the world in genetic engineering or biology even is someone from their garage, you
Yeah,
know?
but what do you think that?
Because they're the ones who have very little limitations to this sort of like,
Well, funding. I mean, funding could be a big issue here, couldn't
yeah,
it?
and now that CRISPR technology and CRISPR home kits are made available online, people can just buy that and make things in their garage, like edit genes of a mouse or animals. I've heard that people are editing dog sperm to make to make it serve glow like fluorescent using
Wow.
jellyfishes.
Jellyfish DNA and parts of it. Okay, so do you f the scaling of technology and availability of it means everyone has, access to this CRISPR stuff. So that's fascinating. I mean that, we could just do this in garages and things. But if we do that, doesn't that circumvent, the whole ethical dilemma? I mean, should we? Can we? I mean, if people just start doing it, I mean, where do we? Where's the limit? What do we end up with? We could create some really bad things when people have no oversight, right? So that's a big danger here,
I
right?
agree, which is why I think that we should process this slowly and in a way with real caution, because you know anything could happen in the future. But then again, with every great things comes risk. And
Yeah, well.
when computer science was first introduced, they didn't know that hackers would be a thing, but obviously, with hackers comes new jobs like cybersecurity analysts and professionals.
So what you're saying is, with every field, there's going to be someone that's always playing not with the rules and doing their own thing. Well, I guess with human genomes, it's a big gamble here, but it is going to be difficult, especially like you said, with home CRISPR kits and all the information available online, and technology becoming more efficient and cheaper. It's going to be an interesting future. We will play with the building blocks of life. So do you think the global ecosystem is a danger of us changing it and messing it up and going extinct? Or what do you think is going to
Well, if we change the DNA of an organism, it's obviously going to affect the whole life cycle and ecosystem, which will definitely put it in danger, but I wouldn't say that it's a really bad thing, because if we, like I said, if we proceed with caution and slowly, we can make sure and take precautions to make sure that we do it within a limited space at first, before, like with human drug trials, clinical trials. There's obviously four phases, and that's the first w and that's obviously like you have to start with a small market first to test out the drugs. Same with gene editing. When we introduce a new organism, we have to start with a small space, like maybe some isolated area. And after a few years, if it's with definitely with 24/7 monitoring and control, if it proceeds well, then we can, start growing the organism and start breeding. You know, we've done selective breeding since a long time ago, and that's in a way modifying your gene.
Okay, so you're
right?
saying we've done this sort of stuff before,
Mm.
and it's just going to increase in scale and frequency.
Yeah. Selective breeding has been done since a long time ago, especially with dogs, because they have a lot of diseases. And we've been artificially breeding, in a way, these dogs and changing the whole ecosystem as well. So it's CRISPR just makes it easier and faster in a way.
And a bit more dangerous as well, right?
Obviously, but
Yeah.
everything
Ever,
that
ever
we've
great,
done.
yeah, ever great
Yep.
discovery, I guess, has some a lot of risks involved. So, what do you think about the public's sort of fear of this stuff? I mean, it sort of plays on our religious beliefs and things like that. I mean, should we proceed? Are we God? Where do we stand on this?
Well, there's obviously this huge biologists and scientists are playing God by modifying the genes artificially, but I think that that's not true, as smoking and UV light actually modifies your genes. So is that, are you gonna say that companies who manufacture tobacco are artificially purposely modifying a gene and playing God in a way? Because either way, knowing that it modifies your gene and it can even grow a tumor, which is a whole new organ in your body. Yeah, and yet we still do it,
So in a way, we've already entered that playing field. It's a bit too late to ask those questions now.
And there are parents who choose abortion when they find out that their child has a mere defect. I mean, aren't we already pre-selecting humans based on their medical conditions in a way? Aren't we like unconsciously playing God ourselves, determining who's right it is to be alive or not? I also think that with CRISPR, abortion rates will decrease significantly because we're, in a way, the future. In the future, we're making humans into this perfect condition and having perfect physical states and having
Qualities,
features
yeah.
that we want.
Okay, so what do you think of the whole trend in designer babies? I mean, that's a big thing that's coming up. People wealthy enough to afford to pretty much design a baby, including the features, you know, eye color, height, intelligence, things like that. People are afraid of that because, you know, you've got the big divide between people that can afford to do this stuff and then people that can't, and the technology selection, you know, being limited in this field right now. But what do you think the future holds for designer babies? Do you think it's going to be a definite thing? Are people going to start planning babies rather than having them naturally?
It's definitely going to be a thing in the future, designer babies, but I don't think it's just going to be for the rich and the poor. I don't think there's going to be whole divide. I think that the whole society will have access to CRISPR technology in the future when the government accepts it as a whole and realizes that this is not a threat. Same with other technologies. I think that by supporting it, the government is helping decrease the threat of CRISPR, and supporting it means that scientists can research further into CRISPR technology and making it safer. Obviously, when you first start doing something, it's not going to be the safest, but within time, the technology will improve and the risk will be minimized, and I think that eventually CRISPR will be safe enough for designer babies. I don't think that it's gonna be in the next 5 years, but definitely sometime in the future.
So it is going to happen.
Yeah, and I think with government support and funding for CRISPR technology and research, that it will be a thing where it's not just for the rich, but it's for the whole society. And I think that it's gonna be good, yeah.
So you think it's going to become sort of more mainstream than we think it is going to be, and people are going to start editing They're babies. All right. So that's a bit scary. I mean, we're going to be living in a world with people that are artificially sort of modified and things like that, you know? So it's like we're coming to a future that has been portrayed so often in science fiction movies,
It is, it
where it's very
is.
dystopian, and you know, we're actually making it a reality. So it goes shows like Westworld, where we question about, you know, being human and the God dilemma and things like that. So it seems like humans are fulfilling all the prophecies we've been making, funnily enough. I mean, okay, so to, you know, finish it off, I mean, with the CRISPR thing and the genetic, do we think that we could, what's the next big application of this stuff? Do you think that before we go into Mars and space, do you think we could utilize this technology?
It's really, really useful for many people who, especially astronauts who have never had the right condition to survive and thrive in space, but now with genome editing, astronauts can be physically and mentally fit to thrive in space and survive in another planet. And I think that's a huge step for astronauts and CRISPR itself, you know? And I think that the future holds so many unpredictable things for us. Some good, some bad. Obviously, there's gonna be people who don't support CRISPR and gene editing and modifying humans. And there's always gonna be someone who is going to support them as well. So whether you like it or not, I think that this is something that is in the future that you can't prevent at all, and it's gonna happen either way, whether you be on the bad side or the good side, you know?
So it's an inevitable sort of
Yeah, it's
thing coming.
inevitable. And I also believe that CRISPR opens up so many possibilities and opportunities, like vacationing to space, and instead of finding a planet with the optimum environment, we can modify and increase our survival rate by editing our genes. Increasing our survival rate in another planet according to the environment.
So it's crazy. So we could pretty much edit the people that are going to live on those planets and make them more adapted to that
Yeah, even
environment.
normal and human beings like us, you know? Because Earth is obviously going to be, you know, extinct in a way in
But
the future.
can we edit existing living humans? Can we edit their
Yeah.
features, or is it only for, you know, babies that haven't been born yet?
No. In fact, babies are much more complicated for their genes to be edited than humans like us are. So, yeah.
So it's possible to for myself to edit my DNA right now and make the change happen,
Yeah,
or
if you buy a CRISPR online kit, but there are people who do that, biohackers. But obviously, there's ethical considerations and monitoring to be done, so it's best that you do that with under a scientist's guidance.
wow, that's crazy. So that sounds like some really crazy stuff. You're saying that people can edit the DNA right now.
Yeah.
Wow, that's bonkers. I don't think people are aware of just how far we've come. And in the scientific community, is there a consensus on if CRISPR is positive or a negative influence?
There's both. Some people think that CRISPR is a good innovation and some people don't, you know, but
So there's no consensus on whether it's a positive or negative scientific impact. I mean, what does the scientific community like lean? Is it 100% supportive of using CRISPR to
not
make
a hundred
editing, or?
percent, but some people have their own opinions, you know. Some people think that CRISPR is a good innovation and some people don't. But as Neil deGrasse Tyson said, CRISPR just makes everything easier and faster, you know? And this gives biologists, CRISPR gives biologists and humans great power that may or may not be used wisely, but it gives biology a fast track to evolution, you know? Evolution. Because what was previously in the hands of nature can now be controlled by our very hands. And I think that's scary. That's really scary. But then again, look at the bright side. With every positive thing comes risk.
Right, so there's a lot of ethical dilemmas that the scientific community battles with, and I guess it's going to keep going until I'm not sure when. All right, so deviating from that, we've got a number of different things that I want to talk to you about. So Gabby, I understand that, apart from being a biomedical engineer as a student, you also have a number of different, entrepreneurial pursuits that you're following. I mean, you started a couple of businesses. You seem like a very, driven person. So tell me about some of the things you're running and how they're going.
Yeah, so right now I'm focusing on this business I have, which is called VitU. It's a vitamin distribution business where Australian vitamins are being distributed as at a large scale to Indonesia, which is where I'm from. And yeah, basically
Well,
I'm just selling vitamins.
oh, okay. And then any other businesses that you were looking after before, or?
Yep, I've had multiple businesses ever since I was young. My first business was a small but quite fun business. It was when I was still, you know, how every young teenager goes into the phase of being emo and stuff, and I was like into this bands like 5 Seconds of Summer and One Direction. It was like those times, and I s decided that, you know, since people love and support these bands and artists so much, why not make a merchandise, like a merchandise business, which could, you know, show fans their support for these bands. And I started selling t-shirts, mugs, customized mugs and stickers, which all I made, which was all my own production. So I produced them all myself, and everything was basically run by me, one person, which isn't technically a company or b like a real business, but it was like, you know, I was young and stuff.
A one-man show. Okay, and now you've jumped into supplements and vitamins and things like that. I mean, is it something that interests you because of your degree, or is it something that just sort of attracts you?
Oh, it's totally unrelated from my degree, 'cause I'm doing biomedical engineering, but
So ever since a young age, you've sort of been, attracted to business. I mean, it looks like you could inspire a lot of young people to do their own thing and, run their own businesses about what they're passionate about and what they're interested in. So did you have a food business as well? Did you work in the food area?
Yeah, I've always been interested in the food industry, and I did open a food stall or food booth in the National Library in back in Indonesia.
Wow, no way.
Yeah, in the National Library, and there's this event going on, and I started selling homemade nachos and homemade bubble tea, like
Wow.
milk tea and
So sort of
coffee and
like a
stuff.
food stand slash food truck
Yeah.
thing. Wow, okay. And
I've always found it fascinating, the food industry, because I myself, I'm a foodie. I'm a huge foodie, and I like cooking sometimes. Sometimes. And it's always been something that I've been passionate about, you know.
Okay. So where do you see yourself heading in the future? Do you want to pursue your degree and focus on that? Do you want to focus on your business, your VU business, and expand that? I mean, are you gonna split your energies? What are you gonna do?
I think I'm gonna focus on. I like multitasking, you know. I like go jumping from one thing to another, and I think I'm gonna be switching from, you know, keep on switching between doing my degree and biomedical research, but also focusing on my business.
Yep.
So I think I'm gonna be jumping, from those two. And I'm also currently working on a secret project. Not so secret anymore, because I'm gonna be revealing what it actually is, but it's gonna be launching soon.
Yep.
It's called Gifters.
Gifters, can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so what it basically is you know how I started with a merchandise business? So this is kind of like in the gifts or merchandising area industry as well, but it's for people who wish to give presents and, you know, on special occasions, but they don't have the time or ideas to think about what presents they want to give to their friends. So they just use Gifters, because Gifters is an easy solution to gifting.
And when are you looking to launch this business, and where are you launching it?
I'm launching it in Australia.
Okay.
And it's launching next year.
Next year?
Early next year in January. Yep, and so stay tuned for that.
Okay, well. Wow. So it must be exciting. I mean, another venture. And it's really inspiring, because, you know, you are an international student. You've come to... And being an international student, you know, in Australia, not only is it expensive, it's difficult, it's challenging. And
it's very, very expensive.
You're running on so many different, you know, modes at the same time. You're doing the business thing, you're doing the degree, you know, so many things going on. How do you cope with all that? What do you find, you know, about Australia? Do you find it more challenging, more rewarding? How would you overall rate the experience of studying in Australia? Would you recommend it to other people in Indonesia?
Being an international student, it's obviously going to be challenging, you know, living by yourself, being independent, and, you know, just moving to a whole new country on its own is extremely challenging, but I consider it rewarding and actually quite beneficial for my personal growth, and I just like seeking new experiences and new thrills. Yeah, and being in Australia has made me learn a lot of things that I wouldn't have if I've stayed in Indonesia. And obviously, the universities here are great, education is great, and a whole lot of new places to explore, different kinds of food, and Australia's like a melting pot country. So
a lot of cultures in one place. Right, and did you have a choice of other places that you wanted to go to, such as the States or Europe, or were you always set on Australia?
I've considered the United States and UK, but it's really far away from Indonesia, especially far away from family, so it's never really been much of a thing that my parents agreed on, or because, you know, they're gonna miss me so much, obviously.
Yeah.
And I love my parents, and I don't want to be too far away from them. So yeah, it's always been either Australia or Singapore, which is really close to Indonesia. But for some reason, just the first time visiting Australia, it just clicked to me, you know, it just clicked that this is the place I want to be, and this is the place that I want to move forward to.
Okay, and what do you think Australia, you know, as a major exporter of education, has attracted so many students, not only from the Asian region, but also from Europe, you know, and from States as well? A lot of students come here, not maybe full-time, but for semesters and for exchanges. Why do you think, what draws them here? Why is Australia so special?
The koalas.
Yeah, so is it the wide array of animals and places we have? It's a different lifestyle. I mean, what's the number one thing that stands out for you in Australia?
They say that Australia has many dangerous animals, which I personally don't consider it to be true. But
well, I guess we don't live in, you know, in the outback. I mean, I guess it's a little different.
True, but I also think that this sort of danger fosters a sort of excitement within people to come to Australia and see what it's actually like. And obviously they have good education, so people are seeking to, learn. And also I think many different cultures to explore and get to know. It's like visiting Europe and Asia and
At the same time.
many continents at the same time, just in Australia, just being in Australia.
It's true. It's a very lucky, country, Australia, that is, because of all the different influences coming together. And would you say, to your friends and colleagues back home in Indonesia, would you recommend that they study in Australia or?
Oh, I definitely recommend. It's such a great country to live in and just to study in, and I've had an amazing experience in Australia so far, so I totally recommend.
Man, that's awesome to hear. And in the future, are you looking to, move and traverse across the world, or are you looking to go back to Indonesia and put your practice, in research? What do you want to do in the future?
I don't think Indonesia is a good place for putting your research, like researching, because the science community in Indonesia is not very much appreciated as it is in Australia. So I think that it's definitely best for me if I want to do research and work in big industries like Neuralink to be overseas, like in Australia or the States.
Where the actual industries exist in strong form. Okay, wow, so that's fantastic. It looks like you have a number of skills, in analytical skills and in marketing, because you run your businesses and stuff. It's like a good mixed bag of skills. Okay, so, just before we finish off the podcast, did you wanna, promote your brands or anything? Did you wanna let the listeners know? Where to head? Where can we find VU?
Well, we can find VidYou in for Indonesian listeners. You can find it at Shopee, Shopee dot co dot ID slash VidYou Health. And the new website of VidYou is coming up soon. It's gonna be coming out next year in January as well. So we're gonna release the website, and we're also coming to Indonesia. VidYou is coming to Indonesia.
Wow, so you're gonna be selling in person. You're gonna set up stalls and stuff?
Yep,
Wow.
we're setting up stalls to further expand our business and
Wow.
penetrate into a deeper market.
Okay. It sounds like you're getting, the business is growing healthily. So that's fantastic to hear. And do you have a presence on social media where people can follow you?
Yeah, my Instagram is G Gabriella Michelle. G Gabriella with one L.
And the VU?
Michelle. And VidYou's Instagram is VidYou Health. VitYou Health. Yep.
Beautiful. All right, well, thank you so much, Gabrielle and Michelle. It's been a pleasure, and I hope to have you on next time, where we can discuss more about CRISPR and what kind of research you've been doing in your biomedical field and bioengineering. Okay?
It's been an enjoyable experience. Thank you so much, Lucas.
That's awesome. Thanks so much. Have a great one. See you. Guys, another form of promotion that I've got running for the show is Amazon. So if you're ever on Amazon and you're buying interesting things, especially for Christmas, it's the Christmas period. Merry Christmas to all the listeners and a Happy New Year. But if you are on Amazon and you're buying stuff, use the promo code LucasT-22. So it helps support the show. So if you ever find anything interesting and you use the promo code, you can go ahead and we can find out more special promos for our guests. I'm working on getting some special promos for you guys, but if you use the LucasT-22 code, then you will be directly supporting the show. So I really do appreciate that. If you go on Audible and you use the code LucasT-22, again, you'll be listening to some amazing books on Audible, and you'll be supporting the show. Two birds with one stone. It's amazing, and I really appreciate you guys listening and supporting me. Thank you so much. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. I really hope you found some of the conversation interesting and inspiring. We try to get the best guests on that discuss things that you wouldn't normally hear on other series or shows. So I appreciate you guys coming back. Once again, check out the links for Anchor and check out the links for Amazon. And Gabrielle and Michelle, she's really raise some interesting issues, especially with the God Dilemma and biohackers. These guys are gonna go crazy. They are gonna change the world. Maybe for the good, maybe for the bad. We don't know yet. We'll just see what happens. But I'm gonna check it out myself for sure. I might, give you guys a feedback in the next episode, see what I found. And the next guest I will announce in a couple of days. Also, make sure to check out the podcast on anchor.fm/Lucas11 or on Spotify, Lucas T, Lucast, or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from. Also, check out the new YouTube channel that we're running. We're just uploading all the podcasts on there so people can listen on YouTube if they want. It's on the Lucas T channel. If you just click on the link associated with the podcast, you'll find it. Thank you again, guys, for supporting the show. Check it out wherever you get your podcast and tune in next week for another interesting host. Have a great day.